Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Cisco AR Speakers on IP Traffic conference call. My name is Emity, and I'll be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are on listen-only mode. We'll facilitate a question-and-answer session towards the end of today's conference. If any time during the call you require assistance, please key star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I'll now like to turn the call over to your host for today's conference, Ms. Kawal Johal from Cisco Analyst Relations. Please proceed, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is Kawal Johal in the Cisco's Analyst Relations Department, and once again, welcome to our AR Speaker Series teleconference. Today, we have an update on Cisco's Visual Networking Index. In today's presentation, we will provide an update on the Cisco VNI initiative, which tracks and forecasts IP traffic and visual networking applications. The VNI studies IP traffic trends and primary factors fueling the continued rapid growth in IP traffic through 2012. After the presentation, we will have a question and answer period. The operator will poll the participants on the phone lines for any questions you may have. We will also use this time to address questions we have received in advance of the call. Please note we will be sending out a short survey to all participants following the call, and I thank you in advance for your candid feedback. Today's presenters are Thomas Barnett and Ariel Summit. Thomas is a Senior Manager of Strategic Communications and Messaging for Cisco's Worldwide Service Provider Marketing Group. And Ariel is the Senior Analyst for Cisco Systems' Worldwide Service Provider Marketing Group. I would now like to turn the call over to Thomas.
Thanks, Kawal, and thanks to everyone on the phone. Good day to you, and we really appreciate you joining us for this Visual Networking Index forecast update. If you move on to slide two, you'll see sort of our table of contents or the agenda for today. And we'll be covering all of this during the call and sharing our forecast data on consumer, business, and mobile trends and projections, with the bulk of our focus being devoted on the consumer section. So let's move on to slide three, please. I'd like to provide a brief overview and set the context for this Visual Networking Index, or VNI. Many of you may have been familiar with the IP traffic forecast that we introduced over a year ago. And early on, as we began to understand the scope and size of IP traffic, we became familiar with the term exabyte. And perhaps that's a term that was relatively new to many of you 12 months ago as well. An exabyte is roughly equivalent to a transcript of all the words ever spoken. But just 1 year later, an exabyte is nearly not large enough unit of measure to characterize IP traffic growth as we see it. By 2012, Cisco anticipates that global IP traffic will exceed half a zettabyte. And a zettabyte is roughly 250 billion DVDs. And I've got some information later in this deck that will help you put all of that into perspective. Moving on to slide four, you know, this is essentially what's driving consumer and business IP traffic growth. Video and Web 2.0, social networking and collaboration applications. The combination of these technologies represents what we refer to as visual networking. Now, based on our analysis and the forecasts of independent analysts like yourselves, our updated VNI forecast is part of the company's ongoing effort to project the growth and usage of IP networking worldwide. And Ariel will provide more details on the specific methodologies that she's used to come up with her numbers. But I think it's also important that one of the reasons that we're sharing this information is not only because we, Cisco, obviously have a vested interest in applications that we help deliver, like IPTV, unified communications, our recent WebEx acquisition, and obviously telepresence, but we realize that some of the challenges that are associated with the growth in video networking are going to need to be solved by a broader group above and beyond just Cisco, and that we're going to collaborate with a number of different folks in the industry that will have solutions that will help. And while the network is certainly capable of dealing with the traffic growth that video and other collaborative applications are putting on the networks today, there are going to have to be advances, innovations, and other changes to networking to support our future growth. So moving on to slide five, again, here's sort of the reference slide to help you understand the difference between exabytes and zettabytes and our yet-to-be-reached yottabyte era. And then moving on to slide 6, here is just some of the key insights that we've discovered, you know, through our analysis for this latest VNI update. Clearly, you know, video is the key driver of IP traffic growth. We're seeing that high definition and on-demand content are driving video traffic today, and video traffic, again, video to TV and video over the internet and multiple types of video traffic as well. We're certainly seeing that collaboration and mobility, people wanting to engage with other people wherever they are in more dynamic ways than maybe they have in the past, and there are applications that now allow them to do that, but also the rise of use of mobile devices is more than just telephones to many of the other applications and capabilities that they have with presence-based applications as well. Video traffic, as you'll see, is actually causing shifts or changes in network topologies. So as Ariel will talk about, we're seeing traffic growing not only in the core but also in the metro and in the access areas because of people shifting to, especially carriers, moving some of that content to other areas of the network. You know, the sheer volume of video content in and of itself may cause some surprises that maybe even we aren't capable of foreseeing at this point. And again, that's part of, I think, our interaction with you today is to get your insights and sort of your viewpoints to some of the content that we have as well as some of the studies and work that you've done as well. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Ariel, who will go through the study in more detail.
Thank you, Thomas. Before we get into the methodology and how the forecast was put together, I'd just like to share a couple of headlines from the results of the forecast. So if you can look at slide 7, please. This is kind of just a single sheet that has some of the top categories within the forecast and their growth rates. But there are just a couple I'd like to highlight. First of all, the annual run rate of traffic by the end of 2012 will be over half a zettabyte, as Thomas mentioned. And this means that the internet will be 75 times larger in 2012 than it was in 2002. So in that decade of time, it's increased by a factor of 75. When it comes to video, which is the main driver of traffic, we're looking for a key milestone in 2010. Which is that internet video will surpass peer-to-peer in volume. And that's the first time since 2000 that anything has displaced peer-to-peer as the primary traffic driver. So that will be a key event to look out for. Also, just the scale of the internet video growth is very thought-provoking. In 2012, internet video will be almost 400 times what the entire U.S. backbone was in 2000. So we're starting to deal with some big numbers here. Even though it's a smaller fraction of the traffic, mobile is growing, it's the fastest growing category of all of the categories we're tracking. So it's growing at a CAGR of 116% from 07 to 2012. And we'll talk a little bit about that, but I think it's an important trend to watch even though it doesn't currently compare in volume to consumer video. Okay, if you'll move on to slide 8, I'll just very briefly describe our methodology. It is a forecast; it's a model-based forecast. So what we do as our first step is to collect analyst projections, probably from many of your firms, for basic metrics. So it can be internet users, IPTV connections, WiMAX connections, really any kind of access that we can find. We choose our what we consider internally the most reliable information for each of those metrics. On top of that, we layer adoption assumptions, so where we may not have a specific analyst forecast for, say, a number of casual gamers, we'll apply an adoption percentage. And then we'll apply a usage assumption, which will be hours per week or month, that application is in use for active users, and then finally megabytes per hour. And that rolls up to the figure that we look at, which is petabytes per month. We do this globally and by region, so we do this for every region
and then added up to the global total. There's another component which is important that it serves as a cross-check, and that is that we collect data from service providers' networks themselves. So we have our service control engine installed in a couple of service provider networks, and the service providers are kind enough to provide us with some data. So that serves as a cross-check to the percentages that come out of the forecast model and has become an increasingly important component here. Okay, slide 9. This is the most basic view of the forecast and how it's structured. We do cover both internet and private IP, and that's an important point. So we do include video on demand traffic, for instance. That would be in the consumer IPTV, cable TV category. So that would include Comcast, VOD, anything that's transported over IP in the metro. And likewise for business, we include IP WAN traffic, which would be private network, as well as internet. And mobility crosses both of those sectors, business and consumers, just mixed together. So overall, for all of these categories, we get a six-fold increase from 2007 to 2012, and a 46% CAGR. Now, if you the CAGR masks a little bit of a trend here. So if you're looking at the near-term years, the growth from 07 to 08 is 62%. And then way out in the later years, because we are taking a very conservative approach, the growth rate is lower, 34% from 2011 to 2012. So that's, I think, one of the key conclusions is that consumer is driving an increasing percentage of this traffic. So if you look back in 2005, consumer and business were pretty much on par. And in the years prior to that, I was talking to a service provider a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying back in 2001, if you said that consumer was going to outdo business traffic, nobody would have believed you. It was a much greater percentage. So now we see quite a shift with consumer driving most of the traffic. You can go to slide 11. This drills down into one of the categories, which would be just the consumer internet portion. So this is just one of those bars that you saw in the previous slide. This tends to be an area of focus for many of our analysts and press right now because of the video portion. So let me just go over the definitions. We forecast internet video to TV and internet video to PC separately. Internet video to TV is based on internet-enabled set-top boxes. So that can be Netflix boxes, Xbox 360, Apple TV, as well as IPTV sets that have internet access embedded. And then internet video to PC is really what you would think of as YouTube and various commercial internet video applications. If something is downloaded and then burned to a DVD and taken over to the TV, that's still counted in the internet video to PC category. So we didn't get quite that granular there. So we've got the 41% CAGR for internet. It's a little bit lower than the overall IP CAGR. From 2007 to 2008, it's 55%. 2011 to 2012, it's 34%. And the growth is very much driven by video. Video will be about 50% of traffic in 2012, a little higher in North America. And you can see very clearly also that peer-to-peer, while it grows in absolute terms, declines as a percentage. And that brings us to slide 12, which, as I mentioned before, shows in a historical context the shift that we're witnessing. So we went from if anybody remembers the Gopher days and FTP days, there was a time when there was no web. So web overtook Gopher and FTP in 95. In 2000, peer-to-peer appeared on the scene and very quickly took the majority of traffic. And as I mentioned before, 2010, we expect video to overtake peer-to-peer. And then looking a little further out, we'll talk about this later, we expect video communications to be very important. Moving to slide 13. We do get some questions about the declining annual growth rate and the fact that the growth rate is lower in the later years. And many think that's conservative, and it is conservative. We're extrapolating from current behavior, so we are not making any speculative assumptions about new applications. But nevertheless, even though we have that decline in annual growth rate, we're just talking about very large numbers. So there is a little bit of a law of large numbers at play here. So if you're looking at global internet video in 2012, it's 390 times what the U.S. internet backbone was in 2000. I mentioned that once before. Also, if you look at the amount of traffic, net amount of traffic that's added between 2011 and 2012, just that difference, that delta, is equivalent to all traffic on the global internet in 2008. So you're adding a 2008 internet between 2011 and 2012. So definitely talking about big numbers. So this slide here just includes internet video and doesn't include VOD, such as Comcast VOD, which is included in the top line forecast. So please move on to slide 14, where you can see the VOD mix. VOD is growing at a faster pace, at 93% CAGR. And there are two trends at work here. One is that an increasing number of viewing hours are on demand, and two, an increasing number of viewing hours are high definition. So those two together create this this increase in video on demand traffic and it boosts the growth rate up above what you see for internet, for instance. I should mention we do include cable VOD as it exists today because it is transported over IP in the metro. So it's not IP all the way to the premise, but it's still network IP traffic. IPTV shows as a smaller percentage here, but if you looked at Western Europe, you'd see quite a different story in Asia-Pac. IPTV would be a much greater share of the traffic. It's North America that causes this to be overwhelmingly cable traffic. If you put together the video on demand traffic with the consumer internet video traffic, look at slide 15, and you also add in the video files that are exchanged through peer-to-peer, you can get a pretty comprehensive view of the impact of video. So that's what we've done here. We included the consumer video on demand, which is on the private network, and then all the video that's in the internet category. And this reaches 87% of consumer IP in 2012, all these video categories summed up. So if you were to exclude video, consumer IP would still grow. It would double by 2012 from 2008. But when you add video in, consumer IP quadruples from 2008 to 2012. So that's just a nice way to quantify the impact of video on the network. Also, as Thomas mentioned, these two video categories together, the on-demand and the internet video, are causing some shifts in the traffic topology. If you look at slide 16, you see that by 2012, the metro network is really carrying quite a bit more traffic than the core network, which is different from today or 2007, especially 2006, where core and metro were pretty even. A large part of this is due to the VOD, which is delivered in the metro. A secondary factor is content delivery networks and caching, just making the video content delivered more closely to the point of consumption. So this is you may see the pendulum swing in the other direction eventually, if and when video communications start to drive a lot of traffic. that will, again, push the core growth rate up, possibly above the metro. But for the next 5 years or so, we're likely to see the metro traffic growing faster than core, although both are growing very strongly. All right, slide 17, we're going to take a look at the traffic per household. Slide 18 shows the internet traffic per household, and this is for Western Europe, just to include a little bit of a global perspective rather than focusing on North America. The North American numbers are similar, slightly lower growth rates on average. But this is Western Europe, just the internet traffic, so just going over the broadband connection. 2007 is approximately 6 gig per household. By 2012, will be almost 30 gig per household. But this is not the whole picture. You can add in, if you advance to slide 19, add in the video on demand traffic, then you get 12 gigabytes per household in 2007 and 70 in 2012. So that adds quite a bit more per household. And this is per household that has a cable or IPTV service. So it's not averaged over all households that might not have a service. It's just those that do. But this still is just a fraction of the total household media consumption. Slide 20 shows the total U.S. media consumption versus Cisco's forecast for North American consumer IP traffic. And you can see that the total media consumption is about three times what we're forecasting for 2012. So we're not, definitely not exceeding the ceiling in our projections, and there's a lot of room to grow. So in order to investigate that, we took a look at some scenarios. Slide 21 shows some of them. So the primary difference between what we're forecasting and the total U.S. media consumption is comes from the broadcast hours that are viewed. So if you assume that some of those broadcast hours move to either on demand or to the internet where they become unicast streams, you can look at what usage might exceed some of the caps that you see from service providers. So a household that watches 4 hours per day of standard def and a dozen hours per week of HD via an internet connection or an internet-enabled set-top would easily exceed a 200 gig per month cap. And if we assumed all broadcast hours, so that would be 8 hours a day across the network, then you get a per household estimate as shown on slide 22 of over a terabyte per month. So this would be the traffic that's crossing, this is also the traffic that's crossing the access line. And so everything that we're crossing the access line, we're also crossing the network, which would mean that everything were delivered via a unicast stream, then you'd have this as an average internet and video per household figure. We don't think that's likely within the next 5 years, so this is not part of our mainstream forecast, but it's just an estimate to take a look at the traffic that goes over the access line and get a sense of the total picture. So if you took 20 homes generating a terabyte per month, that would be more traffic than travel the entire internet backbone in 94 or 95. And looking beyond 2012, we won't spend too much time on this, but slide 24, this is just Cisco's view of how things may develop beyond what we're forecasting. So right now we are tracking interactive video, we're tracking video communications, but it's still in volume small compared to other forms of traffic. But we do think that beyond the forecast period it's going to become a very important category. Dynamic video, which may be multiple angles on sporting events, for instance, and switching between them. Video communications would be a tricky category because that is not predictable content. So we might get to a point in 2015, 2020, where we feel like the days of today were actually pretty easy to deal with in terms of video because it was pre-recorded content, pretty predictable. You could deliver it in multiple ways, whereas video communications may be a little bit more of a challenge. That's just to say that we don't think that this is the final wave of traffic by any means. Okay, let's take a quick look at business traffic. Slide 26. And if anyone's interested in this, maybe we can follow up offline. Don't have too many slides included here. But we do forecast both the business internet and business WAN categories. And the growth rate for business IP is lower than consumer, but it's still pretty high at 35% CAGR. And one of the applications that's starting to drive some traffic is telepresence. If you look at slide 27. By 2012, we expect corporate telepresence to be 5 times larger than the entire U.S. internet backbone in 2000, which is a very rapid development given the use of telepresence as a solution. I should also say that telepresence is interesting not only in the petabytes per month, but in the peak hour and simultaneous sessions. So Cisco, for instance, we had to triple our capacity on many lines just to accommodate telepresence. So our OC3s now have about 40% of their capacity dedicated to telepresence. But when you look at in petabytes per month, telepresence is about 18% of our traffic. There are other measures. If you're looking at peak hour and simultaneous sessions, you sometimes get a very different set of implications if you're looking at averages. So telepresence is important in that way as well. Mobile traffic. Slide 29. Again, don't have too much detail here, but did want to talk about it. More than doubling each year. And the key driver turns out to be mobile broadband laptop cards. So this would be just cards you plug into your laptop. In most cases today, HSDPA cards that allow you internet access from anywhere. And the PC usage just outweighs the mobile handset usage, despite the fact that mobile handsets are much more widespread. Right now, the usage is a little bit light on the handsets. And just by the size of the screen and the number of applications, laptop usage will continue to outpace handset usage through the forecast period. So that is a key driver. And so a lot of the projections we have depend on how much mobile broadband is adopted and how much the service providers encourage that. So you're already seeing in some regions in Europe and in emerging markets, mobile operators are actually starting to position mobile broadband as a service competitive with DSL, priced in some cases below DSL. And they're looking for users to replace their fixed line service with a mobile service. And if that becomes widespread, then this forecast could prove to be very conservative, because we're assuming that that phenomena of mobile broadband substitution will be no more than a couple of percent by 2012. But competitive pressures could very well push that timeline up quite a bit. All right. Finally, I mentioned that we do collect data from Cisco service control engines from some of our service providers. And so I just wanted to share the actual data with you. Let me look at slide 31. We're looking at a couple of things. Growth per subscriber, which so far is about 6% per quarter per subscriber. So that doesn't include new subscribers, obviously. so it would be a higher growth rate if you multiplied it by the number of subscribers. Also, this validates our forecast of peer-to-peer declining as a percentage, because if you look at the traffic excluding peer-to-peer, it's growing at a faster rate. It's growing at 12%. If you move forward to slide 32, you can see a snapshot of what peer-to-peer, the percentage of peer-to-peer on average was about 45%. But if you look at the trend on slide 33, you can see that for these service providers, and it's just a handful right now, peer-to-peer went from 50% of traffic to 40% of traffic for these providers in a matter of three quarters, which is a very rapid change as far as traffic goes. Because if you looked at this, you know, from 2001 to 2005, you wouldn't see a dramatic shift like this. And it's primarily due to video. So we've got some video. The video category here represents Flash and streaming. There is some video as well in the data category that's progressive download. So when you start to put those two together, then it becomes very clear that it's video that's driving the shift. There are a couple of other trends in some regions. For instance, web-based file sharing is becoming very popular. So that also has an effect because that drives up the web traffic and increases the percentage of web traffic. Another metric we track on slide 34 is the percentage of upstream versus downstream. And it's been consistent. This hasn't changed at all in the last year. Upstream has been totally flat. It's always been a third of the traffic. And downstream has been two-thirds. And in fact, it seems a little as if upstream might even be a slightly declining relative to downstream. And that's because the downstream, you're downloading a lot of HD movies. It's hard to really get upstream traffic that matches that, especially if you're not doing it via peer-to-peer, where you automatically have some upstream traffic with every download. Instead, you have just downloads and no upstream that corresponds to it. I could also mention that we did look at the top 1% of users and looked at how much traffic they drive. So we found pretty consistently the top 1% of subscribers drive about 30% of the traffic for almost every application. Okay, moving on to the final slide, 35. There's also some data I wanted to share from our set-top boxes. So this shows usage of VOD, of HD, of PVR, just for the U.S. only. The prior data was broadband data and was global. This is U.S. for set-tops only. But it confirms about 8 hours per day of TV time per set-top. That's been the industry rule of thumb for, many years now. But we do have some new data here. HD minutes for active HD set-tops is over 2 hours a day. PVR minutes for active PVRs, an hour a day, and VOD minutes for active VOD set-tops over 45 minutes a day. So we'll be continuing to track this as we go forward. There's not enough data here to see the trends, but we definitely, what we anticipate is to see more HD as a fraction of total, more PVR, more VOD, all three of those categories gaining against traditional broadcast minutes. So that gives you a view of the data that we use to cross-check our forecast. And at this point, I want to thank you for listening, and I think we can open it up for questions.
Great. Thank you, Ariel. That was a very interesting presentation. Operator, could you please poll the audience for any questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw from the queue, please key star followed by two. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please key star 1 to begin. And your first question comes from the line of Colin Dixon with the Diffusion Group. Please proceed.
My question is about peer-to-peer as a method of delivery of live television. And there are several services out there like Juiced and LiveStation. They really don't seem to register in your numbers. Broadcast also, I noticed on slide 14, it was listed but didn't even register. Could you talk about that a little bit, please?
We actually did include the peer-to-peer video streaming within our internet video category rather than our peer-to-peer category, and I should have mentioned that peer-to-peer is traditional file exchange only, so not the peer-to-peer video streaming, which are commercial applications. And where we see that for the most part is right now in Asia, where there's a lot of, in China for instance, there's a fantastic uptake of peer-to-peer video streaming. They have over 80 million users in China who are watching a couple hours a week of video streaming, and that really adds up. Estimates, it's tough to get figures for a specific country, but by my estimates, that is as much as 20% of China's traffic. So we did include that for Asia-Pac because we had data to support it. What we didn't do was for the other regions assume that a lot of broadcast hours are going to migrate to internet. So our policy has been to not make any assumptions we can't justify based on current data. So until we start to see uptake in other regions of just watching live TV via peer-to-peer or other mechanisms, we tend to be conservative. It's worked in a little bit into the internet video categories, but it's just fairly conservative.
And your next question comes from the line of Nick Gale with Gartner. Please proceed.
Yeah, great presentation. Two questions. One's the clarification. I missed it. It's not directly on the slides. I want to make sure I get it right. You said something about the top 1% of consumer users are generating, did you say 30%?
30%.
Of both upstream and downstream, or just downstream, or?
That's of the total.
Of the total of upstream and downstream combined?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You don't have a breakdown.
No, not off the top of my head, but that may be possible. I would expect actually that upstream would be a greater percentage.
Yes, exactly,
Yeah.
People start to store more of their personal videos and photographs and so on in the cloud.
Right, and also peer-to-peer. So we found that upstream is about 75% of upstream today is peer-to-peer traffic.
Yeah.
And so peer-to-peer, you do tend to have those really heavy users who are just hoarding a lot of content and downloading constantly and uploading.
Great. Thanks for clarification.
I expect to see maybe something more like top 1% creating 40 or 50. But I'll make a note to see if I can pull that.
Okay. My main question, though, is, and I think I submitted this by email as well, it's hard to know how much one can extrapolate from some of these numbers. Certainly it helps, I think, network service and hardware providers estimate, how much infrastructure is going to be needed. But it doesn't seem that in most cases you can draw any kind of conclusions about attention allocation. That is, as you pointed out, some of the increase in, video bandwidth could be just due to richer content,
yeah.
HD versus SD. Is the goal of this visual networking index to what is the goal? Is it just to be a heads up to network equipment and service providers, or is it for a broader audience about where we're spending our time on the web and the internet?
I think it's there's a number of different things that we're trying to accomplish. I think one is just sharing the data and allowing people like yourselves to make their own, draw their own conclusions. I think for Cisco, we're looking at this as the network being the platform. What does the network of the future need to be? And what are the applications that it's going to need to support? And certainly Cisco and other people will be developing and creating those applications. But it is looking at it in the future updates that we provided this, we're going to be giving a lot more, taking a closer look more qualitatively at, I think, how people are using it, the types of content, the number of hours, and what they're using and who they're communicating with. Again, this revision of it was focused more on consumer, but I think there's much more that we can do from a business perspective as telepresence and other types of applications take off. You know, how is video and how are other collaborative applications really changing the way we work? And, you know, what are the implications of obviously the economy and gas having on people wanting to maybe stay home or telecommute and do those sorts of things? So,
right.
Again, I think from our perspective, we are looking at the network and where the network needs to go. And obviously our service provider customers look at this and are able to sort of weigh their strategies and their perspectives of what they want to deliver in the different consumer markets that they want to address. But I think it's sort of multifold. Mm-hmm. Ariel, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add there.
Just with regard to the forecast, and I like the question a lot because it does help clarify a few things. So the forecast itself, I'd say the primary driver of growth is more from shifting platforms and HD rather than some fundamental change in consumer behavior. I think you are seeing changes in consumer behavior, the most obvious being user-generated content. But I think the traffic impact is really coming from that more traditional video consumption moving to an internet platform. But it's something, and also our conservative approach is more of an extrapolation of what we're seeing today versus changes in behavior. But mobility would be one example where if the time of the contact time with the network increases, there you may just see an increase in total video minutes up above that standard 8 hours per household for North America or 4 hours for Western Europe.
Thanks for the clarification. I look forward to further refinements of the data as you mature this model. Thanks.
Thanks.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please key star followed by one. And your next question comes from the line of Roger Kay with Endpoint. Please proceed.
Yeah, just to kind of focus on the index itself, I guess, you know, what we saw was a lot of numbers measuring different things, and they all are different views of essentially the same sort of thing. But
yeah.
Do we have an actual number that's an index? I mean, is there something that you're going to focus on and say this is, you know, the VNI moved up this month by a point and a half or whatever due to higher fuel prices? Is there some, you know, more colloquial way that you'll have of portraying it?
Yes, that's the goal. And that's what we're working on right now. I'd say currently the one number that we're looking at for the forecast would be the annual run rate. So that 342 exabytes per year that we were looking at for 2011 versus the over 500 that we're looking at for 2012. You know, that would be the single number I would look at for you know, just for a top-line quote. But in the tracking effort, the goal is to have a single number and track the quarterly growth.
Great.
Your next question comes from the line of Sam Asad with Heavy Weeding. Please proceed.
Hi, Ariel. Thanks a lot. Just a couple of quick questions. First off on – can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First off on slide 20 would you clarify when you say you've got on the right hand Cisco forecast for North American consumer IP and then on the left total U.S. media consumption, what are you defining as?
Sure. Yes, so the total U.S. media consumption, that would be based on households, so not necessarily including anything business-related. And it's what we did was we looked at time use data, so data that said people rent on average this many DVDs per month, they buy this many, they spend this many hours watching TV.
Gotcha.
And we made some assumptions about the megabyte value of each of those activities and then added it all up. And so this we did to see, okay, well, you know, are our projections reasonable? If we were projecting in 3 years that traffic were going to exceed what the total U.S. media consumption is, then that would be a problem. But
okay.
It was just for comparison's sake.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, and if you could go to slide 22, I'm not sure I'm understanding it. I have two questions there. On the right-hand side, we've got you've got two high-speed data, I guess, HSD, HSD, and I'm not sure what that is.
Very good. That's a typo.
Okay.
So it should be HDTV, and then the one above that, SDTV, and then HSD, which is high-speed data, and VoIP.
Okay.
Thanks for catching that. That's good.
Okay. That clarifies. Am I missing something? Am I seeing that HDTV here seems to sort of hog the lion's share? And I thought one of the earlier slides showed internet video as, really driving traffic growth. Am I sort of missing something? I'm not sure. Or am I sort of juxtaposing one thing next to another, which doesn't really fit? I'm not clear.
Right. So, it's a function of we've taken a lot of these slides pertain just to one specific area, but I think probably the one you may be thinking of is the consumer internet slide.
Right,
internet
video. Yeah.
And this slide 22 includes not only internet, but all the regular TV watching.
Okay.
So even more than the VOD, which we include in the traffic forecast, this would include just plain watching the channel live, which is not included elsewhere in our forecast. And the HD it just blows everything else away. If you're watching, I think the assumption here was 4 hours per set top. For live viewing, and you compare that to the others, it's just much heavier.
Okay. Can I make a small suggestion? This is good. You've got a lot of information, and I know, as you yourself said, you're going to be refining your model a little bit. Would it be sort of, would you consider perhaps at the end of it putting some key takeaways that you're getting sort of, that because there's a lot of information and might be helpful to just have a few, at the end of it, put in some key takeaways type of thing.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, we tried to put, if you look earlier, I think at the outset of the deck, we tried to put, a couple anecdotal things on slide six and then from a VNI forecast predictions on slide 7, but we certainly appreciate that feedback, and if there's something in more detail that we could provide, we'd be happy to do that. And also, obviously, the white papers and the other reports that are associated with this update are posted publicly. There is information there, but we absolutely are looking for constructive criticism on how we can make this more effective and productive for your use.
Okay, it wasn't meant as a criticism, only suggestion.
Yeah.
That's good. And, maybe
it's a very good one.
We can do something like each category within
somehow, that sort of clarifies, because there's a lot of data, and it would help, yeah. That's
good.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a lot.
Your next question comes from Alana Fahid Dijwaki with Instat. Please proceed.
Hi, thank you. Ariel, you mentioned on slide 4 that virtual worlds are a contributor to this visual networking index.
Yes.
And I'm interested to know if you've been able to track and forecast kind of the effects of virtual growth on bandwidth demand, if you could talk about that.
It's a good question. I'd say partially, but not completely. So what we have in the current forecast is a gaming, massive multiplayer gaming forecast. And while there's a lot of growth in that area, the traffic, when you're looking at it in petabytes per month, doesn't make too much of a dent. However, it's very important for quality of service over the access line. So it kind of depends on what you're looking at. But the virtual world is broader, of course, than just what you would consider like the World of Warcraft gaming environments. And so what we intend to do with the tracking service is have a category that includes Second Life and any other emerging virtual world applications and look at the growth of those in traffic, but also minutes per usage, so you do get more of a tie-in to consumer behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just anecdotally, I mean, we at Cisco are using Second Life a great deal for a lot of our marketing needs and in terms of launching products and engaging both internally and externally with a variety of audiences. So that's definitely something I think in the future we'll continue to track, and maybe we can break out some specific data on that, if not just for our Cisco internal use, but maybe broader use as well.
Yeah, and I looked up also our assumptions. So there is quite a bit of growth. There's almost a doubling of the massively parallel multiplayer gaming games from 2007 to 2012, doubles to about 20 million in North America.
There's another part where you talk about interactive video. Do you include virtual worlds within that category? I'm trying to look up the slide. Yes, it's on slide 24.
Right. No, well, we don't have that as a forecast category yet. It's not well defined, but what we have been thinking of is video communications as being a primary component of that, and then dynamic video, just meaning something that's a little bit more the user chooses an angle to view or switches between. Yeah, so virtual worlds was not part of that definition, but yeah, could make an argument it should be.
Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, please key star followed by 1. And you have a follow-up question from the line of Colin Dixon with the Diffusion Group. Please proceed.
Hi there again. Yeah, I wanted to ask, you made a passing comment, which I thought was very interesting. You said you also factored in actuals from some of your customers. So can you talk a little bit more about that in particular? ComScore is used is reported quite widely in the industry. I assume ComScore numbers are somehow wrapped up in your numbers as well. How heavily do you correct those numbers based on actuals that you're receiving from customers?
So, good question. So we look at percentages a lot. So, for instance, we did for the service providers, even though we've only got a handful of them that we're collecting data from right now, one thing that was pretty consistent across them was the percentage of peer-to-peer. And, you know, we could get a sense of things that confirmed other anecdotes that we'd heard from service providers about, you know, what the relative percentage is in North America versus Asia. So because it's difficult to get real adoption rates and minutes of use for peer-to-peer in any other way, we did rely a bit on the data that we're collecting to make sure we got the right percentage of peer-to-peer. And I'd say that's the primary area where it was acted as an input. But for most other categories, it's just a reality check. What we're doing right now is we're adding service providers quite rapidly. We're adding, you know, a couple each week, and so we hope to have about over a dozen of them that we'll have data for by the end of the year. Once we have that may be robust enough to start using as an input. But versus ComScore, I'd say that the difference is that we're collecting it at the network level, so we may include more. So Comcast data is looking at YouTube, but also NBC and the professional content providers. So they may miss a lot of traffic that comes from smaller sites or maybe not emerging sites that they're not tracking yet. So when you track it at a protocol level, you can catch all that. So if we look just at all flash traffic, we may be able to catch stuff that is not caught by ComScore. And also for things like video communications and webcam traffic, we should be able to get that as well. So, but for the professional video content, the numbers are in line.
How often will you be updating the numbers, and will you be giving a little bit more detail on the compositions of the traffic? It sounds like if you're signing up more operators, which is fantastic. It's great to get actual numbers. Will you be able to give us greater telemetry on the composition?
So our timeline for this is end of the year, and we will be giving as much data. I mean, we can't go too granular. We can't go to any level that would allow anybody to identify any of the service providers, obviously.
Sure.
But in terms of application composition, the data will be as deep as we can make it. So the index that we publish every quarter might be high level, but in the analyst interactions, we can share to quite a deep level. We'll have peer-to-peer video streaming versus gaming versus other applications.
Yeah, I think we'll continue to keep the data as aggregate, but I think the other thing that that's important to note is that we're trying to get the representative samples geographically, so that we should have a relatively equal number of service providers working with us in North America, as well as Europe, as well as Asia Pac, and around the world. So the numbers should be representative there, and absolutely we're going to be looking at the individual applications, again, with the goal to maintain the anonymity of each of the individual service providers that have agreed to work with us.
Right.
I believe we have time for one more question, so.
And your next question comes from the line of Debbie Swee with IDC. Please proceed.
Hello. Hi, Ariel. Thank you for
Hi.
The presentation. Hi. I can't hear you very well. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Actually, what I wanted to find out from you is, would you happen to know the extent to which some of these trends that you have highlighted can be applied to the Asia-Pacific region?
Yes. So we do have regional breakouts. So I would say, in general, there are big regional differences. So the growth rate in North America is lower than Asia-Pac. If I look at the Asia-Pac growth rate for consumer internet, for instance, it's over 40% versus North America, 30%. The application trends, I had mentioned the peer-to-peer video streaming, which has a higher uptake in Asia-Pac. Other than that, I think in the consumer sector, the trends aren't, those will be the main differences, I think. But we do have geographic splits if you'd like to see some of these slides just for APAC.
Yes, very much. Especially say, for example, slide 18, something like that.
Slide 18. The per household, sure.
Yes.
Let's see if I can look that. If I have that, I'll just give that to you now. But so we have about, looks like 2007 for APAC, it would be about 6 gig per month. And then in 2012, about 20. But I'll send that to you.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Thomas and Ariel, again, for presenting this very interesting topic to our analyst community. For those on the phone, thank you for participating in today's teleconference. As a reminder, I will be sending a short survey immediately after the call, and I wish to thank you in advance for your candid feedback. If you have any additional follow-up questions, please contact Carter Cromwell at ccromwell@cisco.com. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation. You may now disconnect. Good day.